Thank you so much for choosing us. Man, a very heartbreaking story that was told on social media because she was very desperate for help. Her name is Olivia Rangana, and she was trending for the past couple of days on social media, TikTok, Facebook, for wanting help because of her marriage. And she's pleaded for help from, you know, the Justice Department, the government, and even Gayton McKenzie, because she claims her husband, who is a foreigner, took everything that they owned together, including businesses, cars, after years of abuse. We are going to speak to her in the next couple of minutes just to find out how we can help her. Of course, we are going to have somebody from the Department of Justice who can lead us the right way, you know, so she can take the right steps in talking to somebody who truly can help her, because we don't want just to hear your story, but we also want to help you. And if you too want to share your story for Vuka Xeleva, you too can do the same thing on 072-885-7702.
We are lighting up these airwaves. We are redefining entertainment from Bombela to Emalahleni. Raz FM.
I love Raz FM. Azishe.
Mpumalanga. Azishe.
Hoping she's on the line now. Olivia, welcome to Raz FM.
Thank you so much, my sister, for having me.
Thank you for agreeing and, you know, just wanting to share your story. I know it's not difficult. I mean, and I know it's not easy, you know, seeing as though you went on social media because you really need the help. I think before we even go into it, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who's Olivia?
Olivia is a girl from Soweto. I was born, bred and raised in Soweto, mm-hmm. in Mdeni, but I grew up in Middleland. I'm just a lovely, bubbly girl from the internet.
I love that. I love that. Tell us how you met your husband.
I met him through a friend, but I didn't like him at first. So yeah. He kept on persisting for a long time until I gave in.
You know, I'm hearing you speak about your husband now. And I mean, of course, it's radio, so I can't even see your expression. But I feel like you're blushing there a bit. So I think the love for him is still there. Where did things go wrong?
No, it's no longer there.
It's not there.
No, it's no longer there, no.
Yeah.
Where things have always been wrong.
Yeah.
But I ignore a lot of red flags. And I think another thing we need to take into consideration is that when you're young, your mind is easily brainwashed and manipulated.
Yes.
So I was not understanding what was happening, but because I had three kids early in the marriage, like mm-hmm. my twins and my first one, the age gap is not that much.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-year gap.
All right.
And if you know an abuser, they don't abuse you every day. There are good days at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
though the bad days were much and the beatings were much, but there are days whereby the abuser is going to become a person. Hence, I always emphasize for people to research and study about narcissism. Then they would understand how someone can stay such a long time with this kind of people, because they can manipulate, they can gaslight, they can just make a lot of things emotionally, physically on your own brain. You will be the one battling with your own thoughts, because you just need to research about a narcissist, then you will understand why I stayed for so long.
And I think that was going to be my next question. Why did you stay for so long? But now if you say, I was with this man from a very young age and, you know, I would identify him as a narcissist, then one would understand why you stayed for so long. Olivia, I don't want us to exempt South African men from abuse, because South African men do it as well. But why was it so?
I was raped by a South African man when I was young. So I've seen abuse from South African men from a very young age. And when it comes to me, it's my past is not nice. I grew up in a, not physically, but in an abusive home, you know. So I know humanity from such a very young age. I know Ubuntu. So with me, I didn't look at him as nationality.
Yeah.
I didn't look at him as a foreigner or a Nigerian or a Congolese or anything. I saw a human being. Hence, I say I didn't like him at first, but he kept on persisting. Like, he kept on checking up on me, kept on, like, even saying the words that I've never heard from a South African man. Like, he just showed that care that I've never had and longed for. That love of a father I needed, he was just showing it while he was proposing to me. So I gave in.
Sure. I hear you. We are also joined on the line by someone from the Justice Department. We've got Patricia Nyamandi, who's the Director of Court Operations. Patricia, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Good morning.
Oh, lovely. All right.
Morning,
sister. Olivia, we want you to get help. You know, I don't want you to just share your story. I want you to be able to get help. And I know that you said you've went through different types of channels to try and get help. But I think before we speak to Patricia, Olivia, maybe just take us through the story of how things went from bad to worse, to the point where now you are taking a video and pleading for help. You know, in front of South Africans?
On the 26th of May, I was having an encounter with him, and he had a protection order, of which throughout this, he was in prison since March till April. It was the first time I opened up a case that stayed such a long time, because the first one I opened was last year, but the family also was the one that, and the society as well, was the one pushing me, especially the Nigerian family, to say that you do not put your husband inside. So this year, what made me open up the case, it was that I'm seeing the effect it's doing on the kids, because not only is he abusive towards me, he's always angry and bitter also, and it's affecting the children as well. So much I opened up a case, he stayed in custody for a month while they were busy pestering me and doing such. So I withdrew the case and had a protection order at hand. So we were not staying in the same house, and then he was coming a little until he moved back in. So he was violating his protection order from the minute I withdrew his case, and the minute he got his permanent residency, he just started being worse and said, which kind of a woman puts the husband inside prison? So from then, I called 10111 with a protection order because he was violating it, and I was taking a video. So after he ran and came back with his own police, when he came back with his own police, they wanted to arrest me. I asked them on which ground. I actually showed them the video, showed them the 10111 call, and showed them that he actually is the one that needs to be arrested, because he ran away and broke the house for him to run away. So instead of them helping me, they helped him pack away all his clothes. I explained to the officers that this particular man took all my documents, took everything, only for them to open... Then they told me to come on the 27th. They didn't arrest him. They allowed him to run away. So on the 27th of May, when I went to the station, as they told me, the officers, that I need to go back to the station, to the commander, that the detective that was handling the case prior, so he can handle this. I asked them on which base, because the case is withdrawn. Shouldn't they arrest him as he's already there? And I made them aware that I do have cameras at my house, because he installed cameras at the house to monitor me when he's in Nigeria, because I'm not allowed to go anywhere. Like, I'm living like a slave. I can say that. So, as the police were, I was explaining to them, he went with them. The following day, I went to look for my particulars, as they told him to come and bring them. He was not there. I was told that the case opened up for me. When I went to the station, they said, no, there's no case opened up for me. So the following day, I went to the license department to check the cars. It's when I found out the cars are not in my name. One is in his lawyer's name. Even it has changed the number plate. Others are in his friend's name under a company called Peace Motors. When I called the man, the Peace Motor, to ask that, you know me, how can you take my cars like that? He said I should sort it out with my husband and him. He's a Nigerian. If I like, I should go and open up a case. They own South Africa. He knows how to handle it. There's nothing that I'm going to get from him. So I went to the station to open up a case of fraud. By the time they caught him, it's when I found out that now I also have a domestic violence case that I know nothing about. I tried to explain to the police everything that happened. Unfortunately, I was arrested for a crime I never committed. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. By the grace of God, he lost his card a while back. I picked up this card from nowhere. I can just say it's the Holy Spirit that gave me that card. Went and did a bank statement. When I did that bank statement, I started writing down the numbers he sent e-wallet to, only to find out that the police he came with on the 26th of May, one of them, he paid them an e-wallet of just a mere 300 rands for me to get arrested. That case was opened on the 27th. No one came to arrest me by my house. No one came to do anything. But I was told that I've been wanted, that I have a case. So now it was now counter charges. He withdrew his case, the one for fraud. They say it was withdrawn from the roll. The magistrate didn't take it on the roll. They said we are married in community of property. Mm-hmm. I then asked, in community of property, does it have a right to take away my identity? Even though we share a business account together, we are 50-50 partners there. Doesn't it mean that if he has to sell anything, I as the partner have to sign for it as well?
Yeah.
Then it's just hanging like that since last week Friday, I was served a final protection order. I asked, how can I get a final protection order when I do not have an interim? They didn't answer me. So on Monday, I went to the Westgate Court. When I got to the court, I asked them to check for me on the file. On the file, it shows that two officers said they came to my house, even have a time, even have an address that I refused to sign. Like I say, I've got cameras that I can rewind. No police has ever came to make me sign anything. Mm-hmm. Meaning also he paid for the officers to sign, to say I refused to sign. So it's frustrating because I'm struggling with the kids a lot. I have four kids. They need to go to school. They need to do this. He took away everything. I'm a hardworking woman. I've worked for these things. If you were to go to my Facebook page, you can see that I've sold a lot of things. I'm always about business. It's not as if I'm folding my hands. No one would want to labor in vain. And this person has been abusing me for so long. Yeah. He has a permanent residency now. I don't know where he's staying. He threatened to kill me. He told me that he can kill me and run through Mozambique, that he can go to Nigeria. No one is going to find him. So I started panicking. The main reason I came there is that the authorities are failing us. The protection order didn't help me in any way. The system is not helping me. The authorities at the license department, how did they change also those cards from my own name without me being there, without my ID, without my affidavit, without anything that says I, the owner, I am changing it to so-so person, meaning that even from the license department, there was fraud that was done there. So now he's paying everything with our authorities because they say South Africa is not a country. South Africa is our own brothers that sell us. And when he sees the comments that are coming out from TikTok, it is true. People are suffering, especially in the hands of Nigerians. We are many. They are afraid to come out because of what judgments from people. We are not even acknowledging that South African women are dying each and every day on the hands of South African men. It's not even a case of a gender. It's not even a case of a nationality. It's not even a case of color, of race, of anything. An Indian is going through this. A white is going through this. Yeah. A black person is going through this. It's just a pandemic that is affecting everybody. But my own case is just worse because it's now a foreign national that is involved.
Sure. Olivia, how are the kids doing?
Oh, mommy, you want to make me break down. My kids are not doing okay. The first one is struggling from panic attacks. He used to maltreat the first one so bad, you know, that I always had to protect my child. Mm. So even the last time he called, shouted at her at the phone. So we found her crying, asking me, mommy, why does daddy treat us so bad? Why does daddy beat me and this and that? Then the following day, she had another severe panic attack. Because when this panic attack comes, we have to rush to emergency same time. She can't breathe. She can't do anything. The last time she passed out on the way for us going there. So when I got to the hospital, they said it's a psychological problem. They've booked us to social workers, though they haven't called me as yet, but they did book us there. My kids are, remember, it's not something that I'm talking bad about their father. Mm. It's something they witness on daily basis with their own eyes. Everything that has been happening in their eyes right from when they were young. Mm. And sometimes when I wanted to leave, they were the ones to beg me, "Mommy, please give daddy the last chance. Mm-hmm. This time he will change." Yeah. And I will feel pity for them. So now they're feeling bad that they allowed me, because the other day they told me, "Mommy, we are sorry. Now we are grown. We understand what is happening. Sorry for all the time we said you must give daddy a chance. We wanted to have a normal family." So hearing such little kids tell you those kind of words, it breaks your heart, because it means themselves they are tired of the abuse. As much as I'm crying, I'm struggling, I'm doing this, me and my kids are at peace. They are happy with me. I'm playing the role of a mother and a father. I'm giving them the best love. The reason I'm fighting like this is because I know abuse myself. I'm a veteran of humanity. I don't want my kids to grow up in an unhealthy home, because I know what it does. My brothers ended up in drugs because of they grew up in a home of toxicity. Okay. So I wouldn't want that to happen to my own children.
All right. Let's quickly park it there, Olivia. We're going to go like just for a really short break. When we come back, we are going to speak to Patricia to see how she can help, if maybe there is a route you didn't take that you can now take, and how they can assist you. All right. That's coming up.
On the hour, every hour, weekdays, 6 to 6. This is Rise FM News.
Police are monitoring the situation in Umsholozi outside White River following a protest. Residents
and the Kingdom of Eswatini has denied reports that it is offering nationality to citizens from Southern Africa to fill up for the
If it's happening in Mpumalanga or the world, you'll hear about it on Rise FM News.
If you've just touched that dial, thank you so much for choosing us. It's Rise FM at Mornings with myself, Tlotlang Moletsane. It's All Things Vuka Tleva, It Happened to Me. We speak to Olivia today, who shares her story. She shared it before on social media platforms, telling us about her marriage, you know, and just how broken it's become, and having to succumb to, you know, abuse from her husband. And how he's just taken everything from her. We're joined by Patricia, who's from the Justice Department. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, and good morning to the listeners, and good morning to our guests.
Patricia, what do we do at this point? You know, I mean, somebody's pleading on social media saying, please help me, because I don't know what route to take. I think I've taken every route that I could have possibly taken. Is there something that she might have missed where the Justice Department can be of assistance?
Not necessarily. Maybe perhaps let me start and say today is the 1st of August, and we all know that when we talk about August month, it's the Women's Month wherein women are celebrated, issues that relates to domestic violence, abuse, and all that. That's where you see us women coming out and then raising awareness to the communities out there that these are the things that we should not allow as women. Maybe perhaps let me start and say that there are a number of issues that she has raised. Let me start with the domestic violence, the protection order one, wherein a protection order, it seems as if it was issued. However, in between, she has spoken about withdrawing that protection order. It seems as if there was a protection order, not the interim order. I guess they have surpassed the interim to the protection. That's how I heard it. Then my worry there was that she withdrew that protection order when it was issued. Then it's something that she should not have done. But that doesn't mean that she cannot go back to court and then request that the domestic violence case be resuscitated, or then be reviewed, or a new case be opened, because maybe perhaps the magistrate can conclude to say that you withdrew the first one. Then what are the new facts at this present moment?
I didn't withdraw the protection order, Mommy. I just withdrew the case, but the protection order was still valid. They said it's valid for 5 years.
Which case, if I may ask, which case was withdrawn? Was it not the domestic violence case?
It was.
Because if you withdraw the, is it the criminal one, or is it the protection order?
It's the protection order.
So we can agree. Okay, so we can agree that you withdrew, you withdraw the protection order. Am I right?
No, I withdraw the physical case.
When you say you withdraw the physical case, which one is that one?
He was arrested in March and stayed in custody till April. So that's the case I withdrawn. But I was issued a protection order, then they told me that it has a warrant of arrest. It's going to be valid for 5 years. That if anything happens, I should call the police because he would have been violated that protection order.
So the protection order, when it's issued, is valid for life. So it can be 5 years. My based on what we've just said, I can assume that maybe perhaps there might be a case that relates to criminal, and then maybe perhaps it relates to the assault. I'm assuming you can guide me.
Okay.
But if there was a protection order issued, it has to be for life. It can't be for 5 years. So it's something that we'll have to relook at it and the documents that you have or that were issued to you, and maybe perhaps the charge that you reported him on, what charge was it, and then what was the final decision by the court, whether it was a criminal case or maybe perhaps it was only the DV case. But let me now put it on hold because we need to get it correct as to which it was withdrawn, whether it is the protection order or whether maybe perhaps it's another case that was opened against him, so that we can get our facts right. But my advice is that when it's a protection order, and it's issued and it's a final protection order served, then then the withdrawal part might not work, and it's valid for life. But the minute you violate that, then it means then the police can arrest him anytime. So let's get our facts right on this one. If you have the documents, you can share with me so that we can relook at your map and guide accordingly. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So let me to the one where you mentioned there are kids involved, and then let me ask, the way you have explained now, it seems as if there might not be even maintenance to the kids. Am I correct?
Yes.
But he's working here, some businesses. I heard you mentioning businesses.
Yes.
All right. Then the Department of Justice can assist you with the accessing maintenance for your 4 children. What we need to do now is to visit the nearby court where you are residing, and then we will definitely try and assist you with saving the documents. What we will need more info that relates to his whereabouts. We can trace him. We can do an investigation on our own in order to find his whereabouts, in order to assist you with the maintenance of the 4 kids. And then maybe perhaps, can I find out if you are married? Are you married?
Yes, we are.
All right, ladies, I think we're going to have to park it here on air. But Olivia, we will give you Patricia's number, if you don't mind, Patricia, so that you guys can have the conversation off air. Unfortunately, we have to go into the news, so we have to cut the story short. But thank you guys very much for coming onto the show. Olivia, I think you are so beautiful and you sound like a very determined young lady. I wish you all the very best. You know, these things happen to some people, and it's not the end of the world. As long as you can dust yourself and say, you know what, it happened, but I'm going to come out better, then that's the most important thing. If you do it for yourself and you do it for your children, then that is the most important thing. I wish you all the very best. Patricia, thank you very much for coming onto the show. We'll give you guys each other's numbers so that you can talk off air.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.